You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Dustin Johnson shows us why he's the best golfer in the world with victory at the WGC Mexico Championship.
It means a lot, obviously. You know, it's a tough spot to be in. You know, there's a lot of pressures on you. And, you know, I came out and I played really well. I felt like I hit the ball great all week. I played just well enough, I guess, because, you know, I've won by one.
Halfway across the world, we also had another European Tour winner. Home favourite Dean Burmester reigned supreme at the Shawnee Open.
Absolutely massive. I can't explain where I am right now. No explanation for that, to be honest. I'm just really, really chuffed that I finished 18 on the par.
And we'll speak to the triumphant South African a little later in the show. So a review of all the action from both Mexico and South Africa to come. Plus, we'll look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Hero Indian Open. And joining him on the show once again is Jamie Spence. Jamie, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Robert. Been a very busy sporting weekend, hasn't it, with the boxing, lots of golf. I had to stay up late last night to watch Dustin Johnson just pip Tommy Fleetwood as well, so it's a busy day.
Yeah, it was fun watching the Gulf of Mexico. Before we get to that, also a great week for Dean Burmester in South Africa.
It was coming, wasn't it? Yeah, he's been a good player for a couple of years now. Burmester hits the ball a long way, and he's been performing very well this year, a few top tens. So he was a player just bubbling into form at the right time, and I think these South African players, when they're in that sort of form, are very hard to beat on their own patch at altitude.
Well, we'll find out in the man's words later on the show. Let's first concentrate on the WGC in Mexico, a new venue for the WGCs, the highest golf course in professional golf.
Yeah, we play a few of them, don't we? Mm. The courses in Joburg are high altitude, higher than Kron, in fact. When you go to Kron, we thought that was high when we got there in the middle of the Alps.
That's about 5,000-6,000 feet.
I think it's just under 5,000 Kron, and then
you're splitting hairs.
No, I'm not. No, you said over. You said 5,600. It's yeah. Under five.
And I think you're Joburg's about,
and Joburg's higher than that. So yeah, ball width miles, isn't it? I mean, absolutely.
20%. Ross yeah. Fisher, 20% he was allowing for short irons.
Yeah, some people say if you work off yards, normally when you go to altitude, because it's 10%, you go on metres. I don't know what they do here. They're probably
20%.
Working yards and then take off 30 yards or 40 yards.
Well, 20% in America is a tip. That's what, you know, you have a meal and you tip 20%.
Well, you don't.
I do.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't, you get the scowl.
Oh, okay.
And just, for the sake of 5%, I'd rather pay it and not get the scowl.
Well,
great to have you with us, sir.
Very noble of you.
I like all that, yeah.
But Dustin Johnson, that par four first hole was very interesting to have a short par four.
Do you know, when I looked at that golf course, I thought, this is a Jamie Spence golf course.
I did think that. It was tight as hell, wasn't it? Really? It was so narrow, but I'm not sure I would have been able to compete with these fellas.
Well, the interesting thing was very different ball reaction on the greens to what they normally used to, because the first bounce was enormous.
Oh, yeah.
And you either got the grab with the second bounce or it just carried on releasing. So there was a bit of, I'm not sure what's going to happen when you were hitting your second shots in.
And they're all talking about the Poa greens, which we get over here, obviously, which I was brought up on Poa greens.
Sure.
Pun on those. Lots of slope. You've got to read them differently. So it posed quite a few problems for the players. I think opening up with a short par four was fantastic. So Dustin Johnson and Sally hit a 2-iron straight into the middle of the green. That was pretty impressive on a par four.
Yeah. All out in 31.
Yeah, he's just such an athlete, such height at the top of the backswing, and then he just maintains that body shape and that speed through the ball. It's just incredible. When he's on, he's really on. His short game's got better. He's quite a smart player now. He plays some excellent shot. That shot into the last. I know you like that one, Robert.
Yeah, brilliant. One of the best shots of the year so far.
But what about Tommy Fleetwood, Ross Fisher, John Rahm, who's joined the European Tour now?
Yeah, John Rahm is going to be big time.
Thomas Peters,
big
Justin time. Justin Thomas struggled a bit yesterday, I'd have to say. A few errant shots, saw one on a par three where he hit in the middle of the lake. Almost dropped the club when he hit it. But
he's had three wins this season so far. It's not a bad year,
no,
is it?
No, listen, he's a top player.
He was leading going into the final round.
But it was a cosmopolitan leaderboard, I have to say. Tyrrell Hatton was there. And Rory coming back as well, played some really good stuff.
Isn't that the idea of the WGCs then?
That's the premise, yes.
Yeah, to have a...
It still felt like a PGA Tour event to me, watching it, but...
I guess being in Mexico changed it up a little bit.
Yeah, but there's lots of players there from the European Tour who did very well this week. Zanotti, who won in Malaysia recently, he wouldn't have got into this without doing that, and he made hay, finished 12th.
John Rahm, he's highly fated, we know that, and we're big fans.
Yep.
Eventually caught Dustin Johnson in the middle of the back nine.
Yeah.
And it looked like, at that point, he actually might be the guy to go ahead and win it.
It did look that way.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that. But there's some tricky holes coming in, a couple of little par threes, and it's very, very narrow as well. And
he had a couple of three putts in
a
row.
Yeah, and the greens, you know, were very tricky to read, with lots of slope on them. So, but when you're up in that top upper echelons of the world of golf, it's fine margins. Tommy holed a few, couple of good putts near the end there, especially on the last green. Ross Fisher had a terrific finish. Well, really pleased for Ross on his way back to getting right at the top of the world rankings again. Ross Fisher, look, you'd be thinking Ryder Cup again. Fisher played at Celtic Manor,
yeah.
Not played since.
Well, he nearly won a couple of times in last year, didn't he?
He's been a consistent player for a number of years now. And Peters played. He looked like he was going to be the man as well going into that back nine. But, it was very, very open.
You think about the talent at the top of the world rankings, and there's two guys you just mentioned there that are going to get there, as in Peters and Rahm. They're going to be in a conversation for the top players in the world, in my view.
I think they still got to do it week on week, Rob. They've shown flashes of brilliance. I agree with you. John Rahm hasn't been around quite as long as Thomas, and neither have been around that long, but they look brilliant players, and they've got lots of length. Not only that, but it's not just about hitting the golf ball. They've got control over their wedge play. That's what's impressed me with Peters. You can marvel about how far he hits the ball, but he's got that wedge control as well, and they can both putt. So they seem to have everything.
How much confidence does Dustin Johnson have at the minute?
He's probably in the best space he's ever been in his whole golfing life, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Going into the majors.
World number one, wins his first event back as a world number one.
I would think he's the player that all the others, Spieth, including Spieth and McIlroy and Day, will be looking at. They'll be thinking, I hope he's not on the leaderboard. They'll be happy if he's not on the leaderboard, let's put it that way.
What's his weakness?
Well, I still think it's maybe a lack of control now and again. He gets the old driver out. He's an aggressive player.
Yeah,
I don't think he's got a weakness in his game, but maybe tactically, he should do better at Augusta. He's never really, I can't remember him challenging at Augusta, can you?
Well, the thing is now, what's given him the success since the US Open is playing a strong fade shape. I mean, that's keeping him, I mean, it's going a long way, and he's kind of got control of it. They always say you want to move it the other way at Augusta, so it'll be interesting to see if he bothers changing what he does. He's long enough, maybe he doesn't have to.
Yeah, Jack won a few around there, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was a fader of the ball. It has been lengthened, and I think probably DJ can probably turn it the other way if he wants to, but he's stuck with this cut flight off the tee. It's not really a massive cut, is it? Just a little drift, really. But he hits it so far with the cut. So, it's a different dynamic for him going into Augusta, and he's in great form.
And the shot he hit from that sort of ball that was in its own track in the bunker at the last.
Yeah.
Incredible shot.
Tommy would have been sort of licking his lips.
Well, I think he's thinking practice ground, isn't he?
He'd be thinking get to the practice ground, but yeah, as you say, it wasn't a great line. The ball was below his feet as well. He had to kneel down to it a bit and got it to pin high and got it to spin up. It was a fantastic shot. He had the trees to contend with as well. So, yep, great players hit great shots at the right time.
And actually, they had the putts out just to finish in the grandstand style.
Well, yeah, but
doesn't matter, does it?
No, who cares?
Yeah. Let's hear from Dustin Johnson, who was asked how it felt to win his first event since becoming the world number one.
It means a lot, obviously. You know, it's a tough spot to be in. You know, there's a lot of pressures on you. And, you know, I came out and I played really well. I felt like I hit the ball great all week. You know, the greens, you know, they're tough to putt on. And, you know, I didn't feel like I putted my best, but I really hit the ball well. And, you know, I played just well enough, I guess, because, you know, I've won by one.
You had to shake off Thursday's day when you missed a lot of short putts. What does it say about your internal resolve that you're able to come back out here and get this win after that tough first day?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first day, I didn't feel like I was hitting bad putts, so, you know, I was frustrated, but not like, you know, I didn't feel like it was anything I was doing wrong with the putter, so, you know, I just kept, you know, trying to read the putts as best as I could and, you know, just really, you know, commit to the lines I was going to pick and make a good stroke.
Congratulations on the win, Dustin.
Thank you.
Well, it was his 15th win as a pro and second in 2017 following the win at Riviera Country Club, the Genesis Open. That was when he became the world number one. It becomes the fifth player to win their first event since becoming world number one, following Woosnam, Duval, Singh and Adam Scott. Funny enough, not Tiger. And he claims his fourth WGC title and moves into second place in the list of most WGC victories behind Tiger Woods, who has the same amount as Jack has got majors, and that, of course, as everyone knows, is 18. Now to the rest of the leaderboard, and there was a strong challenge from the European Tour in Mexico, which was led by runner-up Tommy Fleetwood, who finished with a 66, just one shot behind the winner on 13-under.
Yeah, it turned out to be a good week, didn't it, all day today. I was kind of just out of it and kind of trying to get as high as I could And then walking down the last, I realised John had made a bogey-bogey or double, and then I had a putt to get to 13, which wasn't really a very makeable one, but it was a big one, that was for sure.
Hitting the ball well this early in the season bodes really well, and this is going to help your world ranking as well.
Yeah, hopefully it'll make a big move to my world ranking. I wasn't in this tournament at the start of the year. Abu Dhabi got me into this, and then wasn't in the Masters, so I think this will put me a long way towards getting into that. And when you plan the season out, so far it's plan A. it's all gone to plan, so it's going really well.
Top 35 now in the world rankings after that move from Tommy Fleetwood, and that means he's going to get in the Masters.
Yeah, he'll love that. That's been his goal for a few years now, Tommy. So, yeah, really pleased for him to get his invitation.
And if it is true, he is a natural drawer of the ball. That's going to help.
Yeah. Well, he's a great driver of the ball. You know, worked with Tommy for a few years on his short game, and great lad. His strength is his driving. He makes mincemeat of par fives.
He's long.
He's long. Hits his 4-iron 220. That's at sea level.
Is that when it finishes rolling?
Well, no, that's when he pitches it. He's just long. Doesn't look that strong, does he, Tommy?
He's wiry, though. He's one of these wiry guys. He's like Justin Thomas, another whippersnapper.
He's strong. He's got a lot of club head speed. You're right. I think he could do well at Augusta. I think it's a course you've got to play a few times. It's very rarely
experience counts around there. But he's done a couple of things.
A few years ago?
He's done a couple of things. He's gone back to his old coach, did that in the summer.
Yeah, went back to Tomo, yeah.
And he's moved that right hand into a claw on the putter, and that he's got consistency now with that.
Yeah, he can still putt better, especially from 10 feet, I think. But long putting, he's always been a very good long putter, Tommy. Good game, good lad. You know, Danny Willett won the Masters. Tommy would be thinking, well, if Danny can win it, you know, why can't I?
Yeah, why not? Well, I'm looking forward to April already.
Yeah, aren't we all?
I've got to say, absolutely. A new European Tour member, John Rahm, continued his impressive start to his career with a tied third finish, and the Spaniard was positive about his week despite consecutive bogeys when it really mattered on 16 and 17.
I didn't play great every day, and I still had a chance to win the tournament, and that's exactly what I love. We're not going to play great every single day, but the days that we don't have our A game, to have respectable scores was going to keep you going for a long time, and I was just glad I could do that. My first chance here in this golf course, first time I played this kind of event, and to actually have a chance and be actually leading it first time, it's nothing but positive.
I really like the way he plays.
Who doesn't, Rob? Just watching him, he doesn't look 22, does he?
You know, only a three-quarter swing, bowed left wrist, and just pummels it.
Yeah, big, strong shoulders, gone through the collegiate system, just looks the all-round player, looks calm under pressure as well, plus he's got a bit of Spanish magic in him.
He's just ready to go, isn't he? And another one that's really just a fledgling professional career, and he looks like he's been there for 10 years.
He used to have to come out on the professional circuit and just learn you. Learn,
well, you had
learn,
to be, it took
details.
You 5 years before anyone talked to you.
Well, of course, and learn the details of your game. That was you, not me. That was you. You were always cruel.
It's a tough world out there.
No, but you had to earn your stripes.
Tough love.
You had to earn your stripes out
on
tour.
You did, yeah.
These fellas are coming straight out, and he's best of mates with Phil Mickelson already, isn't he?
And his brother Tim, who coached him at college, is now his manager.
Of course.
So it's all very sweet, and he can't take a penny off Phil, apparently, in bounce games.
He can't.
He can't get money off Phil.
They must play wide golf courses.
They must play, yes. I think the golf courses have a bit of latitude. But
John, here's a clue.
But then
play
again,
him on a tight course.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When is Mickelson dead? If you're playing him for money, when's he dead?
Every time I saw Mickelson, he was in the trees and he's finished seventh.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. He never saw the golf course.
Never saw the golf course at the weekend, especially.
No. Yeah, yeah, incredible. Holding out chips and miracle shots around trees and stuff. Great to watch, yeah. Rory McIlroy began the final round 2 shots off the lead, but a level par 71 saw him end the week tied seventh. So how does he rate his performance?
Not very good. I started off, I needed to get off to a fast start and I didn't. And that was really it. I mean, you look at what DJ did through the first sort of 9 holes. You know, I needed to get off to start like that. And, the course got a little trickier over the weekend. And, maybe I just didn't quite adjust to that. But, all in all, first week back, it's okay. But, being 2 ahead going into the weekend, obviously disappointing to finish where I have.
You know, you see how close Rory was, and I never saw him all apart.
Disappointed, obviously. He's a competitor going to the last round there. Had a great chance
two
to
back.
Win.
Yeah,
yeah, 2 back. But let's be honest, having been out for, 6-7 weeks?
I think
he's done brilliantly.
Yeah, no, I didn't expect
him to do that well. One thing someone said on TV last night, which is true, I've broken my rib before. He was able to work on his short game, still been able to putt, hit little chips, and that was still pretty sharp. But whoever you are, if you've been out for that length of time, when you get a car in your hand, hitting the distance.
There's a rhythm to it, isn't there?
There's a rhythm to it, and hitting your distance, especially altitude, Yeah. I think he did really well, Rory.
I think
he'll look back and think, a good week.
Oh, I think the number one thing is for him, he's got a bit of time, bit of run up to the Masters, and he's back fit.
And he's fit.
So, you know, look out, Rory McIlroy's coming for you. Top 10, please, Jamie, from the WGC Mexico Championship.
Well, in 10th, continuing his great form, is Tyrrell Hatton. Brant Snedeker, home with a 75. He did well. He was in joint 7th with Rory and Phil. In 5th, Thomas Peters and Justin Thomas, two big hitters there. In 3rd was Ross Fisher and John Rahm. Tommy Fleetwood was runner-up to number one in the world, Dustin Johnson.
And if you wonder why we haven't mentioned Henrik Stenson, it's because he caught a nasty stomach virus in Mexico City and had to withdraw. Too ill to continue, so let's wish him a very speedy recovery from that. Fantasy Race to Dubai tips. Paul Eales went for Dustin Johnson. Winner, Dan Roebuck. Jordan Spieth tied 12th. So a winner and 12th, that's pretty good from Eales and Roebuck. A deadly tipping team, if ever I saw one. In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, Toby Nippard tops both the weekly and overall leaderboards. His The 5 Euros team amassed 3.3 million points from the WGC Mexico Championship after including Tommy Fleetwood, Ross Fisher, John Rahm and Thomas Peters in his lineup. In our very own league, the Sean Ryder Cup, listener Julian Harcourt scored the most points this week. But in more important news, I've leapt to the top of the table, much to the chagrin of the people in this room. How'd you get on, Jamie?
Oh, I'm just devastated. I went from 4th to 7th. Stenson, obviously, has tucked me up like a kipper. Justin Rose, my captain. Never happened for Justin, did it?
No, I think
it was a lucky week, actually, because you've not played there before, so there's no analysis to be had. So I think people like yourself who just do this with a pin, you know, you just got lucky.
Yeah, because the people I chose are really, you know, outsiders, weren't they? John Rahm, Thomas Peters, Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy. I mean, what a collection of choppers. You'd never pick them to do well, would you?
No,
that's right, yeah.
Your pin just
that's
happened
right, yeah.
to fall
yeah,
on the right
yeah,
place.
Yeah, 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 whatever. If you want to join our league, then head to the fantasy game at europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. And under the private league tab, enter the pin, capital F, small c, 2, small s, capital C, capital Y, 2, small j, capital B, 1. And keep an eye on europeantour.com this week for their fantasy 3 to watch in the Hero Indian Open. So that's the first of two tournaments that were played last week. The second of them was the second event in South Africa in a row, this time the Shwane Open, Jamie.
Yeah, it's another event down there on a beautiful Pretoria Country Club. And Dean Burmester was our winner. He's been looking like a winner in waiting, actually, over the last 6 months, I'd say. Hits the ball a long way, young South African, and he finished off in style, Rob. 2 65s of the weekend. Went out in 29 yesterday. That'll get it done.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 65-65 and taking care of business when you need to, when you've got a chance and your European Tour status and security is not too good. A massive, massive day for Dean Burmester. And I'm delighted to say that Dean joins us on the line right now. And Dean, you must be thrilled to at last have broken through on the European Tour.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, Rob and Jamie. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm really excited about the win and, you know, chuffed to be on the show.
What was your game plan going into the final round?
I just told myself to stick to how I'd been playing the whole week and be aggressive where I could with wedges in my hand. And, you know, obviously on the first three holes, all three holes I had wedges in and all three holes I made birdie. So, you know, that kind of just got the ball rolling.
Is it a course that you've played many times, Dean?
Yeah, I played a few times as a junior and an amateur. We always used to have a Silver Salver tournament there as an amateur tournament. So I played there a few times growing up. And then, you know, I finished 3rd and 4th the previous two editions of the Shwane Open there. So I obviously really like it. And then, you know, managed to pull it off kind of, you know, yesterday.
And what about the start? Bit of a nervy tee shot, but what a putt you hold on the first. That must have settled you down a bit.
Oh, yeah. That putt was something else, wasn't it? You know, like I said in other interviews, I think it was probably the best putt I hit all week. I had a pitch mark where I wanted to roll it over and I rolled it straight over the middle of that pitch mark. So, you know, with 2 metres to go, I was like, well, this is perfect speed. It's got to go in, and it did. So that just settled the nerves and then stuck it stiff on 2 and 3. And off I was flying. Before I knew it, I was through 10 or 11 holes and, I wasn't looking back. It kind of just breezed through. It was awesome.
Because of your situation with your ranking on the European Tour, how hard was it to play the round, the tournament, without thinking what was there for you if you did win and your security on tour?
Yeah, it was obviously massive. I think I thought about winning the golf tournament and doing the best I can on every shot, really. And, you know, when I was walking up 18 fairway, it was really the only time that I realised, that's it, my life's going to change. I got a couple of things to change in my scheduling and my category is going to change on the European Tour, which is, you know, was my goal when I started in January. And yeah, look where I am now. I just got no words for it, really.
How hard is it, Dean, to, because now you've had the breakthrough, now you think, right, I've got the win. How hard do you think it's going to be to keep up that intensity, you know, to keep pushing forward and not sort of think, ah, I've won now, and kind of relax a bit?
Well, I think it is hard after a win, but at the same time, there are other goals. Obviously, I want to make the race to the Dubai final now. I think that would be my next goal to set. And if I do win another tournament, you know, before then, that would be obviously probably the best season I have yet to date anywhere in the world. So, you know, I've got lots of other goals. I'd love to play in a major if I could this year and try and, you know, see where I can take my game and see how far I can go.
Who were your golfing heroes when you were growing up, Dean?
Yeah, I had a couple. You know, my mom was a really, really good player, so she was a massive inspiration for me when I was growing up. She was an All-Africa champion twice. And, you know, then I was fortunate enough to grow up in, obviously, the Tiger Woods era and, you know, Nick Price before him, so as a Zimbabwean. And, you know, the Big Easy is probably the biggest role model I ever had, just as a person and his whole golfing and demeanour. So those would probably be them.
South African golf is in a healthy situation. A lot of players now starting to come through. You know, we've had the Sterneys and the Schwartzels, the Louis Oosthuizens. Now there's another bunch coming.
Yeah. We've got a couple of young guys coming through. You know, Brandon Stone's leading a pack a little bit. And, you know, Hayden's up there. We've got Zander Lombard. Hopefully those young guys just guide the flag and take over, you know, the reins from Charles and Louis and Richard and for them, Ernie and Retief. So, you know, if everybody can just keep playing well and keep doing what they're doing, I think South African golf will be in a good place for a long time to come.
So just to confirm, Dean, your next event will not be in India. It's going to be Morocco.
It'll be Morocco, yeah.
So you're going to be going there. How do you think you'll feel going there now you know you can win on the European Tour?
Yeah, obviously my mindset will change a bit. I played well there last year. I finished 12th and I played with Alex Levy and Beef the first 2 days. Two European Tour winners, and you know, now it's kind of nice knowing I'll pitch up there being one of those European Tour winners, and maybe someone will be like me last year, you know, playing that event, not won an event yet, and knowing this guy's won an event on the European Tour, and you know, maybe that'll boost his confidence like it did me. So it's obviously really exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Dean, great to talk to you. Tremendous achievement. Not only did you win in South Africa, it's a European Tour win. Your rankings going the right way, and everything's on the up. Great to see you playing so well.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Well, it's great to hear from Dean there. And just a run through some of the stats. It's his first win on tour in his 40th European Tour event. He continues his fine start to 2017. He was fourth at the BMW SA Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni, seventh in Abu Dhabi, tied 11th in the Joburg Open, and now wins the Shwane. That is pretty good indeed. The 140th South African victory in European Tour history, and the 37th different South African to win on the European Tour. They do have a strong clutch of players, Jamie.
Yeah, they certainly do. There's plenty of them out there. And of course, success breeds success, Robert. They've got a lot of role models to look up to and to inspire them.
Well, Paul Eales went for Dean Burmester, another win for Ealesy. And Dan Roebuck improved with James Morrison, who tied sixth.
He's in the wrong job, Paul Eales. He's had four winners this year already. In the wrong job.
Yeah, but I know Ealesy. He doesn't like to part with the cash. He's zero for in the plus column.
But he could work as an advisory capacity, Robert. But anyway,
well,
he's done very well.
Yeah, done very well indeed. Top 10 from the Shwane Open, please, Jamie.
Well, in joint ninth is Justin Waters, Ben Eccles and Peter Karmis. Tied sixth, Jacques Blau, Paul Dunn. And another good week for James Morrison. Fifth, Alexander Bjork. 71 for him yesterday. Be disappointed with that. Peter Uihlein finished fourth on his own. Runners-up, Mikko Korhonen and the ever-impressive Jorge Campillo, and our winner from South Africa, Dean Burmester.
So we had two events this week, the WGC event in Mexico and the Shwane Open. Jamie, top 10, please, in the race to the Dubai standings.
Well, in 10th, Rob, Bern Wiesberger. 9th is Rafa Cabrera-Bayo, clocking up the air miles. Rafa, he's playing in India this week. Sam Brazel, the Hong Kong winners at 8. John Rahm at 7. He's in there, first time. David Lipsky at 6. Yung-Hung Wang at 5th. Ross Fisher moved up to 4th. Sergio Garcia is at 3rd place. Fabrizio Zanotti, the Malaysian champ, he's at 2nd. And Tommy Fleetwood, continuing his fine run of form, is our number one.
Do you know what? I think when I sort of, my memory drifts back to the start of the autumn last year, and you and I played a practice round with Tommy Fleetwood, British Par 3 Championship, and I think that's where it all changed for him.
I agree. He learned a lot that day.
I think he learned a hell of a lot.
His wallet filled up a little as well.
He thought it did fill up. His wallet was, it's got some coin from me anyway, that's for sure. And
he was my partner, so you've got to choose your partners, Rob.
You did choose your partner very well. I know I've paid up. I gave Tommy his money. I handed it over. He snatched it out of my hand. And I think that's where it all changed for him, to be honest.
I agree.
He learned very clearly what not to do.
Correct.
And he has pressed on in the right direction. Well done, Tommy. Now, remember, go to European Tour Twitter and Facebook accounts to see clips of the best action from both Mexico and South Africa. In other news, and pretty significant news it is as well, the RNA and the USGA have unveiled proposed changes to the sport of golf as part of a joint initiative to modernise the rules and make them easier to understand and apply. With quite a few changes in there, Jamie, give us some of the key ones.
Well, there's too many just to sort of run through it in about 30 seconds. Well, I like the one where you're not allowed to line players up. We see that particularly on the ladies' tour. They're going to get rid of that. That's a great one. You're allowed to have the flag stick in now. You don't need to attend it if it hits the flag stick while you're on the putting green. It's not a penalty. And the loose impediment rule as well in hazards, which are now going to be called penalty areas, and bunkers. You're going to be able to move leaves and twigs and things like that. So just relaxing all the rules on that. So
3 minutes to find your ball.
That's a really good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that your favourite? It's 5 minutes is too long, isn't it?
5 minutes is too long. 3 minutes to find your ball. And also the dropping one's quite interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. You can drop it from an inch. Is it an inch above the ground?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's pretty close to the ground, isn't
it? Test your kneecaps, that one, if you want to get down to that.
Well done, the RNA and the USGA.
So complicated, the rules of golf.
Yeah, done for trying to simplify it. And there is an element of what can we do to speed the game up. In all this.
That's vital, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's quite a few other things I'm sure they'd like to do as well, going to simplify things.
I applaud the RNA and the USGA for making these changes. Absolutely well done. Can't wait for that. Elsewhere, as we've already mentioned, it's been announced that Spain's Jon Rahm and Kevin Na of the United States have joined European Tour as affiliate members for the 2017 season. Both are ranked inside the top 50 in the world, with the promising Rahm currently at 25th, thanks in part to his good showing in Mexico and recent win at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, while Korean-born Na, also winner on the PGA Tour, is 47th in the world. So that might be a pattern going forward, that not only will European talent, college system, great futures, Jon Rahm, join the tour, also some American tour players as well.
Good to have him.
I think eventually that our tour is going to be very strong when the tour ends.
Probably he's thinking, I want to play in the final series.
Yeah, he wants to be more of a world player and get out there. And they're massive events in the Rolex series.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, I can see it from his point of view. And he might come and play Ireland or France before the Open. You know, there's all that sort of thing going on as well.
Playing some of the Rolex series, yeah.
It's all good stuff going forward for the European Tour, that's for sure. Top 10 in the world rankings, please, Jamie.
Well, Sergio Garcia is at 10th. Ricky Fowler is at 9th. Adam Scott, he's still in that top 10, Adam Scott. He's at 8th. Justin Thomas at 7. Stenson is at 6. Spieth at 5 is a strong top 10, this isn't it? Matsuyama at 4. Rory's at 3. Jason Day at 2. Needs to get on the golf course, Jason Day. And Dustin Johnson, he's our world number 1.
Now, this week's event on the European Tour is all the way to India, the Hero Indian Open. And as you mentioned earlier before, Rafa Cabrera-Bayer, one of the stars playing, Jamie.
Yeah, he's come over from Mexico. Maybe he's trying to build up his air miles, Rafa, but he's playing there again. He wants to win. This is a great opportunity for him on a golf course that measures about 7,650 yards if they play off the tips. I don't think they'll do that. Totally different from Delhi Golf Club last year, where it was tight and tree-lined and very, very fiddly. This isn't that. So, and the finish is huge. 14, I think it's about 550 par 4. You've got two par 5s on the back nine of 630 plus. So, yeah, long, long course.
A 550 par 4?
A 550 par 4. When are they not going to play that?
It's not altitude, is it?
No, I don't think so. And there's a par 3 of 270 on the card as well from the back. If they choose to play, they won't play off
that. I did see a 300-yarder at Oakmont, the 8th.
Yeah.
I stood in that tee and looked at the official USGA thing. I couldn't touch the thing where the numbers were written on, never mind the green. I mean, it's just incredible. So it's a player design course.
Yep.
And players are going to have to get used to it and work their way around it. And SSP Chaurasia will be defending. He's been amazing over there, hasn't he?
He has been amazing, but I'm not sure this club will suit him. He's not the longest hitter. He's very straight and great putter,
yeah,
SSP.
Yeah.
And delighted he could win his own home open there last year after four runners up. So be a tough defence for him around here, but tell you what, why not? He plays so well in his homeland. Not many people can do that.
Well, one man who's making the journey from Mexico to Delhi is multiple European Tour winner Marcus Fraser.
Yeah, just a little quick hop, skip and a jump across to India after this week. And yeah, I've always enjoyed going to India. It's it's good fun place to go go and play, and golf courses are always sort of pretty old school and pretty fiddly, so I kind of enjoy that kind of golf.
Marcus Fraser, you know, courses like Hong Kong, you fancy him to do well.
Great putter.
Yeah.
Hits the ball straight.
He's very straight driver.
Doesn't beat himself.
Very straight driver.
He's just a wonderful short game and wonderful putter. So on those sort of courses, I get to see what this course will throw at us, though, because if you look at the, as I say, you look at the card, it looks a monster.
But, it does. They won't play right off the tips
anyway.
No, it won't.
The ball could probably be running, so it won't play that length.
So give me a feel for the field.
I'll give you a little feel, shall I? Yeah. We have Scott Henn, the huge hitting.
Massive hitter.
Massive hitting, along with his compatriot Marcus Fraser. You couldn't get two different players there, could you, really?
Both Australians.
Richie Ramsey's played some consistent stuff so far this year. We've got the Perth winner, Brett Rumford. He's in there, be full of confidence.
Everyone talking very highly, by the way, about the Super Sixes.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, so I bumped into Robert Allenby in West Palm Beach on his way back from Perth 2.
West Palm Beach?
Sorry.
Just out your beach house.
No, this is better. This is better. I bumped him in LA on the way back to West Palm Beach.
In the business lounge.
It was in the business lounge. Yes. And he just missed the cutoff. But he talked in glowing terms about what they were trying to do down there. And he said the feedback he got from the players was really positive.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rob's been around a few years, seen a few things. So good to hear that he's in favour. Afi Barnrat, he's playing. Ariban Lahiri, Wirachant, Ganganjit Bular. He'd be a popular winner out there. So, yeah, there's a flavour of the field, Robert. Stephen Gallagher as well, making his comeback as well. Jordan Smith from the Challenge Tour. So lots to play for lots of players.
Who do you think is going to make your fantasy team? You've got six players to choose from. It'd be a very different six to last week, obviously, because the field's different.
Massively down the list. So I'm going to put Scott Hend in, I think.
Yeah.
You never know what's coming with Scott, but he's a quality player over the last few years. And after that, you know what? I'm going to have a look. I like Afim Barnrat. He's a quality player.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not sure what's coming from him, but he's a quality player.
He's just, he's with Pete Cowan now. He's a really lovely swinger, Afim Barnrat.
Would you put Cabrera Bayo in your team, having travelled from Mexico? Who are you going to have in your team, Rob?
I'm going to put Ricardo Gavair in there.
You like him, don't you?
Yeah, I think he's a really good player. I'm going to put him in. And, of course, it's very international.
I know you're going to put Nicholas Kolsarts in your team. I know that.
No, you don't know that. You've assumed... I mean, Belgian performance last week was excellent from Thomas Peters. I mean, I know they've got a little... You've got Detri, Kolsarts and Peters Detri. Now. You know, they can sort of spur each other on.
I think you'll put Maximilian Kiefer in as well.
Jorge Campillo
and Alvaro, they're both playing very well at the moment.
Yeah, I might put him in. So, you know...
have six.
There's a little
How big's this pin of
well,
yours?
Well, there's a little flavour of what I might do. So, I'm not saying I will do, I'll say what I might do. Who are you going for the winner?
I'm going to go for Hend.
Okay, I'm going to go for Jorge Campillo.
Good pick. Good player.
So that's my pick for success.
He's
got
to travel
in
up
India.
From South Africa as well.
But this time of the year, players are expecting to travel, aren't they?
They're used to it.
Yeah, they're tuned in. So I'm interested to see how long the golf course is, how they set it up.
Yeah, me too.
So it should be fun. Yeah, the Hero Indian Open coming away, and of course a full review when we get back to these particular chairs next week. That's it for now. Next week, we'll look back on the events in Delhi, as I've just said, at the Hero Indian Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show, tweet it to @EuropeanTour, using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Jamie Spence...
Goodbye, everybody.
And myself, Robert Lee, it's goodbye.